Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. In an ancient Chinese parable, a child curiously asked, "What is heaven like? And what is hell like?" The elder responds, "Imagine a great banquet, a 10-course meal of the finest cuisine. Crispy Peking duck, roasted suckling pig, garlic sauteed lobster, just to name a few of the dishes," and I'm getting hungry already. Everyone sat around the tables in the banquet hall ready to eat. And every day, all are given these very long pairs of chopsticks. The people can reach and pick up the food, but in hell, as they try to feed themselves with their chopsticks, they simply cannot put the food into their own mouths. The sumptuous feast is untouched as the rail-thin people glare at each other in anger, disgust, and hunger. "Well then," the child asked, "if that is what hell is like, what is heaven like?" To which the elder replied, "Heaven looks remarkably like hell. All are seated at the banquet with the same abundance of food and with the same long chopsticks." But the people around the table would ask each other what they want to eat. And then they would pick up the food with their chopsticks and reach across the table to feed each other. The people are enjoying each other's company, there's much laughter, and they are very full and satisfied. So you probably have heard some version of this story before. For us today, the story fits well with Paul's admonition to the Galatian church. He encourages the people to love their neighbors as themselves, to not use their freedom to serve only themselves, but through love, serve each other, with the result of cultivating not only the fruit of the Spirit, but also a deeper connection with God. But when people focused on gratifying only their own desires, feeding their fears, ignoring the needs of others, just as at the banquet in hell, even when there is abundance right before their eyes, they will remain hungry, unable to see beyond their personal needs, and always with a deep sense of scarcity. Miroslav Volf, a theologian at Yale University, in his book Against the Tide, writes that we live today in a culture stripped of grace. He describes a current that pulls us inward into self-absorption and away from caring for others. When once we would assume kindness and trust, hospitality and openness, we now have become slaves of our own desires and fears that keep us from giving and receiving love. If we reached across the banquet table to feed others, we would be afraid and distrustful that we would ever get our turn. Christian devotional writer Frederick Buechner once wrote that the opposite of love is not hate, but fear. The fear of the unknown, the fear of rejection and failure, the fear of not having enough or being enough. Fear is what keeps us from loving. And fear can be very primal. It is there in us, and in certain moments, it just kicks in. And then before we know it, it's magnified. Fear is the flesh in the Galatians reading today. But we are created for love, all of us. Deep down inside, we want to love. But sometimes we pause, and then we get caught up in our fear. And then we pull back, and it feels harder for us then to act in love. A simple example is at the exchange of peace, or even during coffee hour. You might see someone that you don't recognize, whether you're a regular here or you're new to our church. You want to show kindness or generosity by reaching across the aisle or walking towards someone to say hello. It's a gesture of love. But then you might get caught up in a moment of fear. I'm not sure if I want to talk to this person right now. Or I don't know, because I might feel awkward. And in that very moment, the desire for love is taken over by fear. Or take a look at today's gospel reading. Jesus and his disciples are traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, passing through Samaria. The people of this Samaritan village gives them the cold shoulder, and for good reasons. Historically, the Jews did not recognize the legitimacy of Samaritan worship, and they don't regard Samaritans as equals. James and John were very quick to then act in revenge. And fear does that to the best of us. It takes over that moment. But Jesus did not succumb to fearing the other, but instead in this account, and in other incidents with Samaritans, Jesus chooses love. It's been a tough season for choosing love. Isolationism, taking care of just ourselves, runs amok. Whether it is in the UK this past week or here in the US. In a recent Pew Research poll showed that at least half to 70% of Democrats fear Republicans and vice versa. So people have become objects of fear. And then there was the senseless violence and massacre in Orlando just two Sundays ago. The shooting not only heightened the loss of a sense of safety and the desperate need to end gun violence, but it also greatly affected two specific communities, the LGBTQ community and the Muslim community. For many in the LGBTQ community, this was not just another act of senseless violence. It shook people to the core. Will there be acceptance? Will the fear end? And for many in the Muslim community, once again, there was fear of backlash that because of one person, all Muslim Americans are seen as extremists and ought to be feared and ostracized. So on the day after the shooting at an interfaith vigil at the Islamic Center of Southern California, Salam al-Mariati, the president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, spoke in love and against fear with these words for the LGBTQ community. He said, "We will be your shield The Muslim community stands shoulder to shoulder with the LGBTQ community. We are one. We are all part of one humanity, and we will defend each other. We will work together. His words express a deep resolve to not just focus on his community's needs in this time of fear, but to reach out and choose love and not fear. And to quote from Hank's sermon last week, there is no us and them. There is only us. Choosing love is not easy. Following God takes effort. But this is our higher calling. This is what we were made for, not for fear, but from love and for love. In the second half of our gospel account, we hear about the seriousness of following God's call. Jesus is preparing to send forth his disciples in their mission, and it requires them letting go of their fears, letting God be God, so that they can freely minister out of abundance and out of love. In our Old Testament reading, we hear that about the seriousness of Elisha's responding to God's call. The symbolic act of letting go, to give up his livelihood, to share a final meal with his family as a preparation of wholeheartedly following God. Following God requires us to work at love. Miroslav Volf refers to this as making determined steps toward love. That love is a decision, and it's an action. So the fruit, the harvest of the Spirit, requires time and effort for cultivating, for nurturing, for watering toward the harvest. It takes awareness in that moment to recognize the fear and not allow it to be bigger than it is. Choosing love means making determined steps to say no to fear and to say yes to choosing love. We, as disciples and followers of Christ, are called into a serious faith and a serious love. At the heart of cultivating the fruit of the Spirit is seeing that to love our neighbor is not only a command, and it not only frees us up from our obsessions and fears. To love is who we are and what we are made for. So what might be the fear that keeps us from choosing love today? And how might we each invite the Spirit to guide us and to catch us as we move toward love? Let us make determined steps to push through those moments of fear and reach out in love. Let us not let fear keep us hungry and alone. But just like at the banquet in heaven, let us through love experience the abundance of what is before us and feast on it with the help of each other. Let us choose love as part of the change, a pair of chopsticks at a time. Amen.